Thank you. Ah! brilliant idea. Brilliant idea.
I think that if you have to ask me in the entire world which two countries are completely ignorant of each other, I would say India and China. You all agree, right? There are all kinds of reasons why we actually have connected histories, connected geographies, and simply don't know much about one another. I think this is an attempt to try and create a conversation that is not about speaking to each other, but about seeing each other. Yeah? And I think that we would like to take forward with your support, with your assistance, and the West Asia for the West Heaven project, can you speak about that today? Yes, we will now speak about the West Heaven project, which is precisely trying to create this combination between India and China. And once you've done that, we have some time for questions from the audience.
印度和中国尽管有很多文化和地理上的相似，但是两者之间相互的联系还是不足的。那他将简单的做一个介绍，然后我们开始提问。就是因为刚刚介绍，然后我们介绍一下，像今天中午的项目，我在开始的时候也忘记说，就是项目，我们是由三位领导台的学者和当然是个策展人和发起的。
Working on the contemporary art studio exhibition and your publication, filtering extended Indian documentary films and fiction films. And this time is the first time that we engage with the classic music. But for us, regardless of the media or how we categorize this form of art or practice, in today's way, we want to re-invite the imagination of contemporary India and its resources, art and academic intellectual resources to China as a very important reference. So Tejumi invited her to Shanghai in the 8th biennial in 2010 as a guest speaker of our Southern Indian Exchange Forum in Social Thought. So we're very glad that you have continued this relation with her and she created this session for us by re-imagining India by Tejumi.
我想作为一个音乐表演的实践艺术品了，然后就是说，一个非常传统的要有艺术家，并且呢，通过观众的一些反馈来做一个整体的表现。那我想知道，作为一个非常传统而且曾经做过宫廷音乐的这个利亚兹，在印度表演的时候，对观众会有一些什么要求，或者是会有一些瑜伽，自身会有一些什么要求，然后就是大家的一些 manners 啊。
比如说规则啊，或者游戏规则啊这样的，安新来的话会有一些注意啊这样的，我想特别感兴趣，想说一下，因为开始的时候他说要看到观众的表现，能看到观众的表现嘛，谢谢。我就不用这个。The
performance of music is an art, it's an item of, I think I
don't. Oh, okay, sorry.
There are people who doesn't.
Okay.
The performance of music is an item of art which requires the involvement of not only musicians but also the audience. And you're asking special to see the audience. So I would like to know in the time of folk music as well as now, what requirements do you have for the audience and for the cooperating musicians, and what general rules do all these people follow?
See, when
when we perform something, if the audience responds, or if this in and we have a we say wah wah, we say kya baat hai, or we show the audience shows the appreciation, not by sitting silent, but by emoting. They say wah wah, kya baat hai, how very well, beautiful. They respond. Now, when you are singing and someone responds, you get inspired more, and it becomes a sort of a conversation because you are telling them a story. You are giving them your perspective, your ideas, and then they are responding to it. So it doesn't become a one-way show. It becomes a sort of a dialogue.
音乐不是一种单向的这样一个东西，而是一种双向的交流。所以我们音乐家是在用音乐对传对观众传递自己的思想，而观众也不应该安静地坐在那，而是喊出他们所感受到的好的那种感觉给我们响应。而在这个反馈之中，我们也获得更多的敏感。
Yes.
Yeah. Is it difficult to get together? Is there a lot of different species in the Guarana? And how long did it take you to get together and, you know, make it? Yeah. 今天我们同时展示了三种不同的风格，就是这样Guarana。那我想问的问题就是，这三种风格平时就是一起演奏吗？还是你们花了一段时间来相互适应？
Pandita Lalit Jairaji, you know, she has explained this in the earlier part of this event, but I'll also answer this question, try and answer this question. No gharana is superior to the other.
No, I'm just saying, let me answer.
So no gharana is complete in itself, or no gharana is superior to the other. There are beautiful elements in all the other gharanas, all the gharanas. The grammar of music does not change to any gharana, it is the same. The notes of the raga, it is the same. The grammar is the same. So, in gharana, we have different styles of singing the same raga, different styles of singing the same composition. We chose those compositions which are sung in all the gharanas, but you saw how differently it was presented. And, well, it is not too difficult for two gharana musicians to sing together, because he will or she will present her perspective and the other person will present her or his perspective. It's a great learning interaction between two gharana musicians nowadays. This was not so prior to before independence, let's say 1947, or even in early 1900s, this was not so. Now the media is so vast and vibrant that any musician from anywhere can listen to the other musician in the other corner of the world. So there is a lot of influence of music of other gharanas on the other gharanas. So we musicians nowadays, we imbibe the best of the gharana, qualities of other gharana which I am not trained in. Let's say for instance, Rutuja represents Jaipur gharana and she sings beautiful akar. So not that other gharanas don't sing akar, we do, but they specialize in that. And we take from that aspect and try to get that aspect in our gharana and try to make it ours and present it. So there is absolute harmony between the gharanas. There is a lot of give and take between the gharanas. And yes, it does require a lot of skill to change from one gharana to the other. But we generally don't do that. We stick to one style of school. And we try to do that. But having said that, there are musicians who have learned, trained in more than two gharanas. And they are capable of presenting that gharana straight from the teachers.
And also thing I would like to add, though we have had a very advanced training from a particular gharana, but it depends on the musician how he or she can be inspired from the other gharanas and make the other techniques or the other characteristics of the gharana, as Omkarji said, in our own time.
And you see, earlier the distinctions between the gharanas were very distinct because there was no interaction at all. Now what is happening is maybe one or two characteristics you can recognize and say, oh, this artist may belong to this gharana. Otherwise the differences are evening out. And there are very few artists who stick rigidly to one style only.
Because we are really inspired by the goodness and the nice things of any artist who is belonging to any dharana. So we try to imbibe all the nice aspects and try to present in our way. Try to see if we can present it the way that we are taught. And try to make it our own.
Yeah, you don't present it as a collection of small patches.
Yeah.
You take the idea and then present it.
Make it your own.
Your perspective.
Try to
so that, it. Yeah, so that the whole thing becomes a beautiful amalgam.
So it's trying to make it our own. That's what we try to do. Yeah. Yes. Can we have the microphone, please? The last question was missed out.
所以首先这些不同的风格之间是没有高下之分的，我们也不能说哪种风格就是它是起因，这种风格之间的曾经有什么相互影响，已经共同构成。但他们之间有很多的相互融合。这件事情在大概1970年之前，可能不是这样，那个时候不同的流派还区分得很明显，但是人类有些年之后随着这些不同流派之间的相互交流，还有听到其他的。 外在其他音乐传统的录音，就让越来越多的这些演唱家，他们开始做一种技巧，他们转换，有的人甚至可以唱两种或者三种不同的风格。所以我们要做的事情就是，我把什么样的这样的音乐变成我们流派的样子，然后再把它呈现给观众，这也是一个相互启发的过程。好。
那个，我想继续刚才的问题，再深入的问一下，就是这种不同格拉之间的融合，是否被你的老师所欣赏
？It's the combination of fusion between different garanas got appreciated by a guru.
The combination of different garanas is it appreciated by our teacher?
Earlier, they did not like it. 100 years ago, they wouldn't have allowed it. But things have moved on. People have broadened their views, their ideas. And now you cannot keep anything insular. Because you are subject to so much of communication through media, through internet, through YouTube, what have you. So no matter what, however hard the guru might want to try, he will not be successful. And I think they have also evolved. So it is very open.
早期的时候，老师们肯定是不允许，他们无论如何也不会允许。但是现在我们因为交流的途径如此多和如此普遍，实际上我们没有办法隔绝任何一种东西，所以哪怕这些老师自己肯定也受到了其他流派的影响，所以我们现在可以这样做。
On behalf of all three of us,
all the three questions.
All the three questions were very beautiful. We'd like to thank you for asking
yes,
such a beautiful question.
All the three.
Can you please tell them?
我代表我们三个人感谢所有的这个。
I said both the questions that they asked was very, very beautiful. Any musician will be proud of such questions.
感谢这个问题，所有的音乐家都会很高兴有这样的问题。
Yeah, thanks for the nice talking and great performance. And I have generally two questions to ask.
Yeah.
The compositions you performed, I would like to know, are they more about daily life, the happiness or the sadness, or about devotional compensation like praising the God? This is the question. And the other question is, if possible, could you please translate several sentences like the lyrics? I really would like to know the meaning of the lyrics, like very beautiful ones. So, yeah, please introduce a little. Thanks.
你可以自己说中文吗？好的，我有两个问题，就是很感谢今天你们的表演，然后第一个问题就是刚刚你们的演唱以及日常一些作曲，我想问的是它更多的是日常生活喜怒哀乐的主题，还是关于歌颂神、歌颂神跟宗教相关的？然后还有一个问题就是可不可以
The compositions are varied. They start from devotion to the season, to description of flowers, description of events, and then description of places, also love, despair, separation, all the emotions, human emotions that you can find are composed into beautiful compositions.
One of the most sort of adaptable topics for composers is the relationship between a mother and daughter-in-law.
That used to form a very big part of last, about 100 years ago. Those compositions were very popular because they reflected the
society
at that time.
Because the relationship between the mother-in-law and daughter-in-law is not very pleasant in India. So, if you try to sing it and make it musical.
其实歌曲设立的这个都挺顺利的范围，非常广的，从描述这个季节，就描述某个地点，到描述我们的爱情和离别，但是其中有很大一部分就是描述这个婆媳关系，因为这是社会的一个很重要的一个方面。
You wanted a couple of lines of translation, right? So here is the daughter-in-law saying a very bad thing about mother-in-law. Okay, so it says "Sasapuri Mori Nanad Khateri," which means my mother-in-law is very, very bad. Okay, and my sister-in-law is really very bad. So when I sing it, it sounds very beautiful. Sasapuri Mori Nanad Khateri. If you have to describe something bad about something, it better be music. But at least it's tuneful to listen to. But yeah, there are compositions like this which deal with the social elements, the problems faced by the daughters of the house, which reflect the society life in general. Yeah.
像刚才这首歌词，刚才唱的这两句的歌词，可以翻译就是我的这个名义上的母亲，就是岳父岳母这一类的，他很坏。然后我的名义上的妻子，是名义上的姐妹也很坏。但是尽管是这样一个很坏的这么一个歌词，但是音乐还是用这种很甜美的方式唱出来，所以它反映了就是这样一个社会问题和一个有社会性别下的生活。
That lady had a question. Yes. No, she had a question.
Maybe you should come forward.
Yes, thank you for your performance. I know I have two questions. One question is, I noticed that there's always talk long to your speech and your song. What's the meaning of the always talk?
Yeah, right. Okay.
那么第二个问题就是说 how do your different parts of your body cooperation, your work, working performance?
Okay.
That's
right.
Thank you.
The first one. Yeah.
What is the significance of the drone reaching harmonics in your music?
Tanpura.
You see, when we sing, we need a bass, the do. And each of us, you would have seen, we kept changing the note. Because our music is not set to different notes at all. We choose our do, the basic tonic, depending on our voice. I sing now on G. That is my do. Hers is A sharp and his is C sharp. So whatever composition or rag or song we sing, we use the same note as the bass. That is not changed. So when we sing, we need that basic note so that you go above and below that. That becomes your reference point.
Generally we use a live acoustic instrument, but we couldn't carry it from India, so that's why we're using an application on iPad. Otherwise you can
you have those
instruments which accompany us on while we sing. Yeah. What was the second question?
所以我们这种一组音乐实际上相当属于一个走调的系统，因为我们不管唱什么作品，我们都按照我们自己的这个舒服的音域来定确定自己的哆。比如说，我唱的是G调，而这位唱的是升A，那位唱的是升C。所以这样我们就是在每唱一首作品之前都会把这个持续音给它切换成相应的这个哆，来给我们在唱歌的时候不停的提供一个参照。
然后这个声音本来是应该由一个声学乐器来演奏，这个它很大，所以因为不好带，现在就是常常用电子的方法来替代。第二个问题是什么？它不是手势啊，它不是手势。How
do your body gestures including those movements of yourself accompany your music performance?
How do
your gestures accompany
your
music?
It's instinctive.
Yeah.
We don't decide the gestures. When we sing automatically, and it's not that everybody moves their hand or there is some movement. Some people move very little, some people more, some people even more. You would have noticed from the 3 years that all of us move in different directions and different gestures.
这个没有什么一定之规，每个人的从刚才我们的表演可以看到，每一个人的运动的那个方式和方向都是不同的，所以这是一个完全根据直觉来进行的运动。有的人可能动的幅度大，有的人可能动的幅度更大，那只是随他们的这个表演的这种信息。
Yes, she had a question.
I want to ask something because our friend is being left out of the conversation.
Oh, sorry.
I think it's very, at some level, it's easier to sing what you know. And you are all singing mostly what you know. He was trying to play something he doesn't know. And I think the challenge was a bigger one. So I wanted to talk about the difficulty or the ease of that challenge.
想请问一下，这个，因为我们三个唱的都是我们熟悉的东西，但是你弹的是你不熟悉的东西，所以，这个挑战的困难之处和容易之处在什么地方？这个困难之处，就是我因为第一次跟他们见面，其实中午你要怎么排练，然后他们唱什么，我要很仔细的去听，你要非常仔细听，特别是他们用那个即兴的时候，用那个啊的时候，其实很多音都听清楚的，啊啊啊啊这样。 对我来说啊，是吧？但是我能做的时候，我能做就是这样过，这样去模仿。因为印度音乐，我们知道的一个就是对话，一个对句。它我得接它句子，我不可能我百分之百完全模仿它的东西，但我也得接它这个它用的节奏啊，比如说它用的一些音型啊，比如说音乐的那个进行，比如说魔镜啊什么的，我得去接它的句子。这是比较困难的，但容易一点是在于我对印度音乐非常感兴趣，我一直在学印度音乐。 虽然是学了差不多一年的声乐，然后3个月的琵琶，但我也没有其他的，我是拿琵琶在练。跟我的其他人去做。所以呢，就是所以他们三位很照顾我，就是提前挑了一个雅板。雅板这个音阶呢，我就知道了，因为在琵琶身上是以入门的一个软板。然后呢，这个对我来说就是比较容易能够跟他们一些即兴啊什么的。但是在琵琶这个音阶上呢，其实。 很多人都觉得很奇怪，为什么这个能演奏音乐或者是跟电子音乐合作？其实乐器它本身可以跟任何音乐、任何乐种合作。 关键是你是不是知道那个另外的音乐系统是不是能够跟他有一个共同的语言。我是觉得容易之处，你想要跟不同的音乐家玩的时候要找到这个音乐的共性，你除了了解自己的东西也要了解其他人的东西，不然的话就鸡同鸭讲，咱俩的语言大家可以不瞎玩，那就没意义。
The difficulties are that I have to really, I have to listen really attentively, especially in the improvised part. It's really hard to follow and clearly hear what exact notes you are using. But I'm trying to imitate as well as be in the dialogue with your sentences. And the easier part is that I have had experiences in Indian music. I have learned vocal arts as well as the sitar. But my sitar, the instrument has not been prepared. Already. So I think every instrument is versatile as long as you know the system of the other music. So,
yeah.
Oh, but he did a wonderful job.
Also, you made a significant point that we are singing something which we know and he is trying to play something which he doesn't know. But there is a slightly different interpretation to that. He knows the notes present in the raga, which is the first of the basic ingredient for any musician. Knowing what swaras are present to sing or play, that is the first thing. The grammar, how to play, what not to play, that's the second thing. But having said that, trying to do it creatively and instinctively, instantaneously, is instinctive. So that's what he exhibited today. And that's why we applaud your efforts. Thank you so much.
And the best part about music is the universal language. It was through Rudy because we did not practice at all. We just, you know, it was an impromptu jam session where we could understand each other's music, and which is itself a success which has been.
所以说他对所演奏的东西并不熟悉，这其实是不公平的，因为我们之间有了统一的这个音阶，实际上这对于任何音乐来说都是最重要的成分，其他的像什么句法结构那个都是其次的。所以但是我们没有排练，这是一个完全自发的一个过程，所以这个最精彩的部分就是这种自发的直觉性的东西。
我有两个问题。第一个问题是，我刚才听了几个即兴的唱段，然后在速度加快的这个部分呢，听起来特别像是我曾经有去寺院里面听那些师傅们去寻诵经，然后他们唱的那个速度的那个感觉和我今天也听到的几个速度很快的那个感觉非常的相像。我想说你们的声乐作品的创作是不是受你们的宗教影响？那么你们在创作宗教的音乐和你们平常去描述生活上面的那些音乐是有什么样的不同？第二个问题是因为我也是学声乐的，我想知道他们是怎么样平常练习那些发声和我们的平常的声乐练习有什么不一样？谢谢。
但你说的声乐是佛教声乐吗？
对，佛教的
应该是印度教。
就是说但是就是师傅们诵经的时候也是比如说是哦妈咪咪咪哦妈咪咪咪哦妈咪咪咪，就是他这个速度也是他其实也是有一个基本的速度附在底下的，然后他们刚才其实也是有一个基本的速度在底下，然后速度加快的时候其实听起来感觉非常的相像，我就想知道是不是受他们的宗教影响。
Some sections of your singing, especially the rapid section, resembles what I have heard in the Buddhism temple. When they are chanting the sutra, sometimes the movement, the pattern are similar. So the question is, are you somehow influenced by the religious music in the temple? But I think you are Hinduism, not Buddhism.
有点像，对。
有什么关系？ So what's the relation between your music and religious music?
明白。
You see, in the olden days, the music in India was mainly religious. It was in the temple, it was in the Buddhist monastery, and since the Buddhism started in India, maybe the way of chanting the mantra, they took the base from the temple, the music that existed there. And afterwards it moved out. Music in the temple is very structured. There is no room for elaboration or for imagination. Isn't it? Whereas in our music that goes outside, would you like to comment on that?
No, I'd just like to add to it, saying that she spoke about Buddhism and Hinduism, but we often tend to forget another very important part of how music has developed in India, which is through Sufism. Sufism is a sort of anarchic Islamic formation, but it has many adherents who are both Hindu and Muslim. It's not something only coming from one religion. But although classical Islam forbids music and forbids visual arts, the Sufis believe that it's through dance and music that they can approach the divine.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of that influence is very much part of this music as well. It's actually an amalgam of all of these different modes of worship as well.
And one last thing, sorry. Music has never been in India. Music has never been the source of entertainment. It has never been the only source of entertainment. It was a major source of enlightenment, and approaching God was closest and easiest in music. So, of course, yes, when you listen to music, you get entertained and you get peace of mind. But it doesn't just stay there, it goes a step beyond.
应该说开始在印度大部分的音乐都是宗教的，或者至少是它是在宗教的框架之内的。但是宗教音乐它是一个比较固定的体系，所以我们在其中没有多少自由发挥的空间。但实际上来自宗教的影响，除了我们说的印度教和佛教之外，有一个很重要的就是苏菲教派。苏菲教派尽管它是伊斯兰教的一个教派，但是在印度也有相当大的这个。 信众，那他这种教派，他其中的教义就是我们只有通过音乐和舞蹈才更能接近上帝。所以回来说，印度音乐它音乐在印度从来不仅仅是一种娱乐，尽管我们可以在音乐中获得娱乐，但那是我们跟神更能接近的一种方式。
补充一下，sorry，yes。 然后，我觉得我作为一个中国人，然后刚开始学印度音乐，我想说两点，就是他们对音乐的尊敬是超过我们想象的。就像我跟我的老师，为什么他让我叫他咕噜？咕噜这个词是源于佛教的那个上师的意思，是大智慧、神秀觉的意思。然后他为什么尊称他们？机械就叫咕噜呢？是什么？他们是他们灵魂的导师，这个音乐是跟你自己灵魂交流的一个很重要的一个工具和媒介。 然后我的老师就跟我说，你永远不要把这个情况的底下，然后从这个情况跨过去，然后这是对神的不尊敬。然后我说这指的是乐器为什么是神呢？他说他这个他给我吃，然后给我工作，他也教会我很多，还教会我做人的道理。他给我机会跟我的那个咕噜去学习，我跟我这个咕噜是绅士的。 所以他们一直是跟他的老师谈，跟多的，学生他们这个生命，我走到尽头为止。所以这个是特别让我尊敬的，因为我在哪怕我跟我老师学习的时候，都基本上完全认同。然后特别是在音乐学院，大家都会有教学计划，啪啪啪啪啪，这些都是快餐式的吃完。但是呢，就是他们还是保留一个口才心授，这个是非常不容易的，因为没有了系统以后，你就非常非常要仔细的去听老师教你什么，而且就是老师教你。
As a Chinese, I think the Indian people respect the music more than they can imagine, like they respect the instrument as the embodiment of God, so it should never be put on the floor and stepped over. And the preservation of the oral transmission tradition is also a very precious thing, because if you have to imitate from your guru for the whole morning and he does not play exactly the same thing every time, so you really have to grasp what's the underlying role of the music being learned.
And also,
平时怎么宣练？
So, how do you learn to articulate and vocalize means the training of your voice?
That's a long process. How can I do this?
We don't have separate voice exercises as such, or separate musicology lessons as such, and then the music separate. It all forms one homogeneous learning experience. You learn as you sing. You learn to vocalize as you sing. You learn when the teacher sings something, you follow. He will say, okay, this is not the way to articulate this. Articulate this way. And this pronunciation is not like this. Do it this way. So it is a process which is incorporated into the learning process. We don't learn separately as voice or exercise. At least I didn't. I don't know about it.
But only one thing I would like to make a point, like when we are vocalizing, it is very, very important to have a control over your breath. The way your breath is coordinated with your singing, it should earn that breath while the way you practice. One thing I would like to add, we do basic note exercises up and down, isn't it?
Yeah.
Patterns,
up and down,
and then standing on one foot for a long time, going below the toe as long as possible. These are the basic exercises that are taught. The rest all comes with the flow.
Homogeneous.
但是你会做一些跟音乐结合起来的基本练习，就是比如说上行和下行的这个模式，还有停留在低音上很长的时间，然后往下去走低音，那之前这个练习还是结合的音乐的。那个，不好意思，我已经换掉了，我从以前就是我也没有用，同样的这个低度我老师，但是我的老师呢就是说，一直跟我说不像我们教什么发声的位置上下中没有，他就跟我说你既然不去唱歌，那就对了。然后这刚开始我说什么？然后我觉得你的那个发声位置，他说我们从来不讲这些东西的，但是你唱久了以后，你发现他们必须是这样的。 而且他们练声的时候，反正我不知道这三个是怎么学，但是我的顾问教我的时候，他们会用一些这个咒语的字，就是 om 啊 om， 特别是用 om 的时候是练低音的，哦，就他们练习就是这样的。然后平时他会练就是啥来干嘛巴塔尼三嘛，就是我们懂得一发萨拉基多，这个我置换过来也换了很久，但是我一直认为他教我的练习曲其实是即兴的根本。
就比如说他有一个，那。 如果嗓子它不是第一位的，是自然的，那作为观众也好，作为老师也好，他认为
一个歌手他欣赏他的在什么地方，就是他是哪个部分是最值得就被人叫好的。